This is Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching. Today we are going to discuss a concept that was introduced by Joe Dispenza, who is a New York Times best-selling author, researcher, lecturer, and corporate consultant. He mostly talks about how we can program ourselves or reprogram ourselves to live our best life. He takes a lens, a neurological lens, so a very scientific lens. And one of the things that he talks about in his show, Rewired, which you can find on Gaia, if you're a member, and other places as well, he talks about moving from survival mode to creation mode. And just to give you a context for this, as Erin and I tackle this, or we explore these topics. Joe Dispenza talks about survival mode, and he describes it in terms of activating your sympathetic nervous system. You're in fight, flight, freeze mode, and you have heightened levels of adrenaline. Cortisol levels are very high. Your immune system is suppressed. Creativity is very difficult to access when you're in survival mode. And the emotions around survival mode are anger, frustration, worry, and anxiety. So those are some things that characterize survival mode. And Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about how you can move from survival mode into creation mode. And what creation mode is a more expansive feeling. Your brain and your heart are coherent. You have feelings of excitement, calm, peace, knowing, and it's a more open and expansive feeling. Erin and I are going to talk about this. What does this look like in our coaching? What does it look like in our personal lives and everything in between? Erin, what are your thoughts on this topic?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is the idea of when you are in survival mode, what that might be really telling you. So I think when in survival mode, that can be a really good time to root into guidance and extra support to really tap into what the anger and frustration and anxious feelings might be really revealing to you. Because often it's not just what's on the surface, right? There's a lot happening underneath due to lived experiences, traumas, coming of age things, and more. So initially, I think of how powerful of a learning tool that can be, even though it might be quite painful. And given the circumstances, you know, finding the right professional to work with through that typical mode can be very helpful. And then to creation mode, like there's so much in between the survival to creation mode. I was trying to sit here and think when you were talking, have there been times that I've been in survival mode that I've actually also been in creation mode? And I'm sure there has been a little bit of a connection, at least, that whether that's like anger or those anxiousness feelings have eventually fueled creation, how I've gotten to that creative mode. But I couldn't think of a time where I was, you know, in the throes of fight, flight, freeze, or fawn and really able to create. Because I think our creative offerings from deep within us, from our hearts being open, and it's hard to have that if we're in the throes of survival mode. But maybe it is something that can happen. So those are my initial thoughts on survival and creation. LaShawn, where are you at in the conversation right now?
I love how you ask questions about whether or not things can exist together. Can you be in survival mode and be creative? And you look at your own experience. I love that you're looking at the possibility that the two can exist and you're examining your own life and your own experience. And that then prompted me to think about my own experience as well. And also even talking to my clients and where I can see them in survival mode. And when I ask questions that prompt creativity, it often triggers them to double down on the past or to try to explain what happened. And it's almost as if they're blind to the question being, the nature of the question being one of creativity. being one of open, you know, it's an open question. It's a, what would it be like if, I wonder what would happen if, it's like trying to evoke the person's imagination or trying to engage the person in imaginative thinking is almost, I mean, I haven't seen it. I often see my clients when they're in survival mode, I often see them in a loop. And it's almost, I will turn to my tools as a positive intelligence coach, where I'll be like, okay, I'm hearing a lot of saboteur voices here. And I'm wondering if it would be a good idea for us to do some PQ reps that will disrupt this cycle that you're in. And it's usually only if we can, you know, do PQ reps where we're kind of breaking out of the mind and going into the body that my clients and myself included can really access that part of my mind or that part of me that can be imaginative. So I would say I have the same experience as you, Erin, in terms of looking at times when I've been in survival mode and whether or not I can be creative. And often when I'm in survival mode, my state of survival mode is freeze. And it's really not easy for me to think beyond, okay, I need to get the energy to move, or I need to get the energy to do. So like the basic stuff. So being creative, would it requires me, one, to be aware that I'm in freeze. I'm not always aware that I'm in freeze. And then to do something like focus on my breathing or do something somatic in order to access my parasympathetic nervous system, in order to get out of that loop that seems to be characteristic of survival mode for me. I don't know about others. One thing that Dr. Joe Dispenza does say about moving from survival mode into creation mode is that it requires an asking, like the question of, rather than being in the past, like thinking about, well, present and also future, what do I want or how do I want this to be? Again, that requires creativity. So one thing that I find, and I'm only just in episode 3 of the show Rewired, so I'm sure he will elaborate on this. But one thing that I did find in the show that I had a question about is, how does one move from survival mode into creation mode when the two are so seemingly different? And that's why I really liked your question, Erin, about, have I been in survival mode and been able to do, to be creative? So that's one question that I do have, and I want to bring that to you, Erin. What are some strategies that you use when you find that you're in survival mode to get yourself into a more creative space?
I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is space. And then with space and time, taking the learnings and the inspiration from survival mode to either create something to write, or write a poem or something like that. So there is still that connection there. But strategies I use to move from survival to whatever, maybe not even creation, right? Just like, how do I calm my system? Is, for me, it's a lot about processing through movement. And this is for the same for my clients as well. The processing through movement can be, you know, how we get our thoughts and our feelings moving, whether that's through exercise or through artistic works, writing, that sort of thing. So I think one of the antidotes to survival mode is when you get the space to reflect, you can use creation as a tool to support your own healing. You know, I don't want to say the anger and all these like fight, flight, you know, freeze areas that we may fall into during various situations are bad, right? They serve a purpose. And some of those more negatively felt emotions can be a powerful tool for us to understand ourselves better, to grow from a situation, and to learn how we maybe set better boundaries. So I see all of this as learning, like the coping mechanism or the tool through this is learning from our situations. You know, when we get it, wrong, and I don't want to say wrong, but when we get it maybe not as right as we want to, you know, instead of the traditional not showing compassion for ourselves or beating ourselves up or that sort of thing. It can be helpful to turn to it as something much more neutral. Is what are you learning here? And I really take this back to our episode on the growth zone, because I think the growth zone, we talked about how there's going to be pain in the growth zone, right? It's not always comfortable there. And so part of this process too is the recognition of how can you use that discomfort as a superpower for yourself to turn that into something that does work for you, and to know that maybe next time you will handle something a little bit differently or set a better boundary or things like that. So I think one of the key tools for the mechanisms for how we work with what's going on with ourselves in this mode are all around learning. And that can be done, like I started the conversation with at the beginning of the podcast, with an individual, with a guide, with a coach, with a therapist, with friends and community. I've been really interested. I'm seeing more just like healing communities, you know, popping up across the U.S. and specifically within our own community too here. So I think that's another powerful resource is when you do have those resources in your community, how can you be a part of those and use those if they're going to work for you? Whereas, you know, I do know some people too who do much prefer to do a lot of their own healing in a more private space, one-on-one. So there are different options depending on where people are at through this process. And we can't always be in an inspired space, in a creative space. So I want to maybe look at the space between the inspired space and then the space of just like kind of unable to function kind of thing. What exists in between those spaces? And it doesn't have to be a linear step-by-step process from one to the other, but there are maybe landing pads in between for people to use as their own tools as coping mechanisms. So for instance, I'm definitely not maybe to a space of feeling inspired and creative. However, I am in a space where I want to do something a little bit different or maybe engage with life a little bit differently. So I decide that, you know, I'm going to listen to music in the evenings instead of watching TV and see how that goes for me, for instance. Very small adjustments. And that might even be too big of an example. We're talking about like very, very small adjustments that create movement for us out of these spaces into something that's more helpful for ourselves and others. LaShawn, what about you?
I love that you are putting this bridge between survival mode and creation mode, and that there is a sense of reassurance, or it kind of makes it less unattainable when like it seems like there's a huge gap between survival and creation mode, and the fact that you kind of built these bridges or these little stepping stones, and you brought up growth, you know, the growth zone. And it's so important to know that there are variations and there's gradations in between the two extremes. So I think the survival mode and creation mode are definitely extremes. And the way that you framed the idea that, you know, the neutral zone or where is there a outside of survival mode, but not quite in creation mode, but it's that in between zone, that's so important. And so I really felt inspired by what you were saying. And one thing that came to mind was the importance of implementing habits into your daily routine that are going to foster creativity, and they're going to foster neutrality, and they're going to foster serenity, so that it is something that you're building up. So one thing that I'm thinking about when I look at the way Dr. Joe Dispenza describes survival mode and creation mode, and they're such polar opposites. And so it does seem, especially the way that he describes it, is people are either in creation mode or survival mode. There is that in between that we need to remember. The way that we can live in creation mode more often than in survival mode is through habit and through routine. And if we can put into our daily routine moments where we're walking in nature. Movement was one of the things that you mentioned, Erin. Moments where we are maybe coloring, or I know there's adult coloring books out there, and or if we have children, playing with our children, or being playful with our children on a daily and routine basis. I think we can lessen the impact that stressors in our lives and the compounding stressors in our lives that can lead us into prolonged states of being in survival mode. And like you said, Erin, it's really important to have grace when you're doing these things. Have grace when you're in survival mode. Understand that this is part of being human, and that being aware of being in survival mode is a win. Awareness in itself is a win. Unless you can acknowledge something, you cannot see it and you cannot heal. Things heal when you know they're there. This is something we learned from Kyla Mitsunaga, who is a facilitator in family constellation. So that's a shout out to her. It's such an important thing to remember. We cannot heal things that we're not aware of. Once we're aware of them, that's a win. Having that grace and self-compassion in the face of maybe spending a day or two in freeze mode or fight mode or flight mode. If you can be aware of that, that's a win. Being aware of that is step one, of course. And then we want to give compassion and we want to observe that and give compassion and appreciation for whatever is coming up. So when we're aware, oh, I'm in freeze mode. Oh, wow, I'm so happy that I'm aware of that, or I'm so grateful. Maybe happy isn't the word, but I am so grateful that I am now aware that I am in freeze mode. And so now I can take care of myself. Now I understand the state that I'm in. And I appreciate that I have the tools. I can call a friend. I can go get a drink of water. I can go take a walk. I can, you know, do something that's going to nurture myself. And we take these little steps to move into creation mode, move into a space that's more open and more life-affirming. And so it's really important to think about that in terms of making it a routine in your life, so that the movement from survival to creation isn't such a long road. And, you know, where we can just develop habits, I think that is one step in the direction of moving into a space where we're creating our lives rather than just reacting to what's happening. And we're more empowered when we're in creation mode, is because there is a sense that that we are captains of our own ship. We're not just passengers. Erin, any thoughts?
I love where you started with awareness. And I think that is such a journey with this process in terms of recognizing reoccurring patterns in our own behaviors, our own ways of being and thinking and feeling. And sometimes it feels like the lesson has to be learned over and over and over and over again. And so that awareness piece, LaShawn, that you pointed out, is so helpful, because when we can just be aware of that without judgment, it kind of puts us in a place to be more objective about how we respond for ourselves, which usually brings greater healing rather than us being, you know, so judgmental of ourselves or others or those sorts of things. So that's where I was starting to kind of go with the awareness piece that you mentioned. Additionally, I think it's so interesting. I keep wanting to call the survival space the isolation. Every time I get ready to say survival, my brain goes isolation phase.
Oh, I love that.
And I don't know why. It's not something that I don't use that word very much. But for some reason it's showing up right now. So I guess I'll run with it and work with it and see what comes up because of that. But yeah, that isolation piece, or the survival space that we can be in, can lead to a lot of isolation, where we feel that we either feel a lot of shame because we're making the same choices with how we survive, and nothing wrong with that, right? Like, that's part of a trauma response or whatever it may be. But we can also feel you know, less isolated, less shame, when we tend to these areas of ourselves with curiosity and compassion. And I know we always say curiosity and compassion, but truly, when we're in survival space, we're not going to be able to fully heal ourselves or go maybe do some of the things that we're used to doing. And so just holding that space with saying it's a neutral space for ourselves and saying that, you know, we can be compassionate with ourselves. And I think that's a really important thing to do, because the more that habit is established rather than the shame habit where you shame yourself or shame others, right? The more you start to root into the compassionate part, the more you are open to the creative piece and to creating. So, LaShawn, you had a lot of really important nuggets there that kind of led me to where I'm at right now. And then the other piece here too is that, how do I want to frame this? Like when we are in creative mode, like you mentioned, you know, we are open and we maybe are aware to our surroundings that can inspire us. And when we're in, and again, I was going to say isolation mode again. Oh my goodness. When we're in survival mode, it's really hard to have that awareness outside of ourselves. And so I think going back to the word awareness that you were talking about, that's where it has shown up for me too, as part of this conversation, as yes, I can have some level of creativity possibly when I am in survival mode, but when I'm in creative mode, my ability to access the broad range of stimuli around me, or, you know, prior to me, or even like looking into the future, right? That creative space that we feel so inspired by, I can really start to look outside of myself more. And so this is making me wonder, when we are in the survival space, how much more compassion we need from other people to support us in that space, I think, because we're just unable to be as aware of other people's needs, how we create, that sort of thing. So I guess if you do have people in your life who are surviving, and we all have those people, how do we support them and meet them exactly where they are? And that's always a hard question, because the complexity of the situation is a big part of that too. Kind of went off on a few different directions, but I'll pass it back to you, LaShawn, and hopefully you can help me clean those up.
No, I don't think any cleaning is necessary. It's really interesting. It really piqued my interest when you were talking about that instead of survival mode, you think isolation mode, because some of the characteristics that I did not share in my initial explanation of what Dr. Joe Dispenza said, he does talk about narrowing your focus, being separated, feeling more separated, and also becoming more matter than energy and more particle than wave. So that concentration that happens when you are in survival mode, how you describe that as like isolation is so on par with what Dr. Joe Dispenza was saying about that. And I love that you mentioned having compassion for people that you see, that you can see are in survival mode. I think that is so important, because I think this is where it is really indicative of how we are social beings. We are relational beings. We need each other to co-regulate and to regulate our emotions, our children especially. We're co-regulating with our children. And when we're adults, we need that companion. And I don't know, there's definitely probably a term for this, but where you are with your loved one and your loved one happens to be in survival mode, and you notice that your loved one is in survival mode, being compassionate, knowing that they are going to have a very narrow focus, that they are going to see limited possibilities. And like you said, Erin, meeting them where they are. So what does that look like? For me, and I want to take from Owens, Erin, can you jog my memory on was it George Owens? The gentleman who's the vice president of the grief recovery.
Ed Owens.
Ed Owens. Yes, thank you. Ed Owens. So Ed Owens, when he was talking about how do you companion a griever, you listen. And I think listening and thanking the person for sharing, you know, the state that they're in, being heard is one way that we can feel connected. And if we're in survival mode and we feel like we are isolated, Erin, as you so accurately depict survival mode as isolation mode, I wonder what, and there's probably been studies on this, but I wonder what the effect of someone just holding space for, listening, not judging, not trying to fix, not trying to change the person, but just showing appreciation, one, for sharing, and two, for trusting you enough to open up about how they're feeling. And if you are in a position where you have a loved one who's in survival mode, if you hold that space as someone maybe who's not in either neutral or in creation mode or in between, on the other side of that, compassionate observation, appreciation, and not trying to change the person, just being there and listening. I think that's really important. One thing that came to mind in terms of yourself, if you are aware that you're in survival mode, sometimes it can help just to think about one or two things that you appreciate. That can be hard in survival mode, depending on where you are in survival mode, but it could be something that you can do or say, like a trigger, something that can disrupt the pattern of survival mode. So a friend of mine has this phrase that she says when she's finds herself narrowing her focus and focusing on the negative. She says, oh, wait, I love my life. And so that is her trigger to shift, to pivot her perspective. You might have taking a deep breath or something. When you notice that you're in survival mode, give yourself a behavior or something that's going to help disrupt that kind of narrowed vision or the cycle that can ensue from focusing on the negative too much, because that's often what survival mode causes, is catastrophizing and only looking at what's wrong and seeing limited possibilities. So there are different ways that we can maybe disrupt that cycle. Erin, any thoughts about this? I think we're getting close to nugget of wisdom time.
I do want to add, because I love how you brought in disruption, because I think it's so important, because some people, whether they're clients or friends of mine, will ask, well, how do I just snap out of it? Or how do I get out of it? And this idea of something that's disruptive can be really helpful, right? Like cold showers, getting having a friend take you to yoga or whatever it might be, something to just shift wherever you're at with your equilibrium in the moment that's not equilibrium, to get you into a space that starts to jumpstart a little bit more of where you really want to be. And I've seen this with my clients, and I have dealt with this personally in my own grief experience. There was a woman who took me to a restorative yoga class she was a neighbor of mine. And it was like, you know, in the weeks after my daughter's death, and she just took the initiative to like jumpstart that process and take me, and just to be outside in community with other people doing gentle movement. I still remember that. Like, that serves as a core memory for myself moving forward and how I felt and how I can access that again in those times of need when I am in survival mode. So I love that you brought in the disruption, because I think it's so important for our clients too, and how they create small shifts and what they, where they want to be. And then the other thing I want to add about the stuckness piece of this all is, like, we can really panic when we're stuck, and we can really start to spiral into, you know, further spaces of despair and depression in those areas. And, you know, I just want people to know that if you're stuck, that's okay too, right? You don't have to be creating movement for yourself if that's not what's happening. And it's a complicated topic, I know, and one maybe we can kind of look at in a different episode around getting stuck and what that might look like. But just wanted to put that out there too. Like, maybe we are stuck in isolation, or we are stuck in survival mode, and that's okay too, because sometimes all we have to do is float and something will start to shift. And that's so counterintuitive coming from a coach, but I do want to highlight that there too. So maybe that's my negative wisdom, being open to being stuck and being open to disruption in your process of moving with and through survival mode.
Love it. My coaching negative wisdom would be along the lines of similar to what you said, Erin, about it's okay to be stuck. I want to encourage and invite our listeners to give yourself grace in every aspect of your life whenever you can give yourself grace and explore what survival mode looks like for you and what creation mode looks like for you and what does it look like for you in between. And think of one thing that you can do or continue doing to stay in a place that is nurturing and uplifting for you. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Maychelle Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.